Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
They pull within 20 to 17. Mostert runs for 5 yards. Okay, the running game was working for some reason in this game against a Chiefs team that was ranked 26th against the run.
But you come here to make some jokes to my face now?
You're hard to follow. I didn't know what to say. I'm sorry about that.
No, don't be. I would have done the same. You had to comment on it.
And I'm not looking at the defense of the San Francisco 49ers. You go no huddle. You sitting up there, you trying to sell folks in and out, but you can't because they're going no huddle, you can't do it.
The key in life is to lie to yourself about reality. Smile through everything. All the bad things, well, you just pile them away in a place that will come back one day in the form of rage.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
So you post a cryptic tweet of you walking in, walking out. Like, what the frig are you doing? I didn't understand why he felt like he needed to do that 2 days before the Super Bowl. And if somebody is to say that it was a selfish move, I'm not going to disagree.
They say all good things must come to an end. So to my teammates, my family, and my fans, you deserve to hear this from me. But me? I'm not going anywhere.
It was 100%, no matter what, it was 100% a selfish move. Even if it was a tweet for an ad, you could have just put something in there that said, stay tuned for the Super Bowl.
It just takes some time.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Come on, yeah!
All right, welcome into the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen here in Providence. Ben, good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, my friend.
Congratulations. I'm doing well. Congratulations to you. If you did not hear, Ben Kitchen, why didn't
right
you go
money.
To Twin River right after the show last week? Because he was on the money with that Super Bowl prediction.
It's good, baby.
I believe he had the Chiefs. Not only did he have the Chiefs 31-21, and what was the final? 30-21?
31-20.
Okay. So you were what, 1 point off?
1 point off.
But you also predicted correctly that they would score a late touchdown to sort of pull away.
I gave you the full map.
You
of
did.
The game.
You did. It was very
map.
Impressive. Very impressive.
It's your fault if you didn't go gamble. It's my fault I didn't go bet on it.
Through 3.5 quarters, I thought I was going to be right. I thought defense was going to own the day, win the day. The 49ers were there. They had the game. And then both units fell asleep. And you can't do that against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what the Patriots weren't. They did not fall victim to in the AFC Championship game last year. The defense and offense at the same time never both went to sleep. So that's why they were able to hold on and win that game. 49ers, we're going to get to that game later in the show. My opening take has to do with Tom Brady. And we're going to talk more about Brady later, but I'm going to offer an opening take.
Yeah.
You can talk about Mookie Betts, and then we'll get into a little bit of that. Here's what I want to say about Tom Brady. Okay. Tom Brady is coming back. I think Tom Brady is coming back to the Patriots.
Okay.
Okay.
Just making sure.
We've talked about this all along. We've believed that all along. Do I have 100% certainty? No, but I think he's coming back, and I think pretty strongly he's coming back, and here's why.
Okay.
The two posts from last week, now I got all fiery about the first one, but it worked itself out like I thought it might. I watched that commercial. It was part of the open. To me, you do not shoot a commercial inside of Gillette Stadium, where the theme of the commercial is, I'm not going anywhere, I'm coming back. I know it was for Hulu. I don't even know what that had to do with this whole thing. The theme was, I'm not going anywhere. Okay, you don't do that in Gillette Stadium and then go to another team. You don't do that.
Well,
that was
the
me.
The theme from Hulu is that they like to do these misdirection ads where it seems like it's one thing, and then all of a sudden the athlete comes out and goes, Hulu has live sports, and they pay me boatloads. Remember, Embiid was doing a bunch of them.
Yeah. I just don't think you do a commercial inside of Gillette Stadium stating you're not going anywhere and then you go to another team. But that's not the main reason why I think Tom Brady's coming back.
Yeah, but you know why it was phrased the way it was, as I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm still in the NFL.
Yeah, whatever. We all know that. We all knew he wasn't retiring. There's no suspense associated with that.
Agreed.
So I think when he was talking about, yeah, my fans and this deserve to hear me that. No. We're waiting to hear where you're going to play, and I don't think you do all that inside of Gillette Stadium, have a commercial, and then say, I'm not going anywhere, only to go somewhere. But that's not really why I think he's coming back. Here's why I think he's coming back. He had another Instagram post, and this one centered around the NFL 100 ceremony that he was a part of
sure.
before the Super Bowl, and he was there in a red coat, a red blazer or whatever, jacket.
Yeah.
And he made another post, I forget if it was right before or after the Super Bowl, and he said, I'm not going to be at the Super Bowl next year in a blazer. Here's the thing. If you're going to go to a new situation, you don't say something like that. You don't make a bold statement like that, because that's what that was. That was sort of a bold statement. Now, Tom Brady's earned some bold statements. He can say things like that if he wants. But you don't say something like that if you're going to go to the Raiders with John Gruden.
Why not?
You don't.
Why?
Because you have no idea.
Why wouldn't you have that confidence? Why wouldn't you convey that confidence out to others saying, even if no matter what team signs me, our asses are going to the Super Bowl? I don't understand why you wouldn't put that out there. You're not going to be like, hey, you know, if I come back to the Patriots, I'm going to be in the Super Bowl. But if I go to the Chargers, you know, I might still be in a blaze.
Yeah. That's fine. I just don't believe it. I don't think you would make a statement like that if you're going to go to another team and have no clue what the culture is, how the coach is, what the team is, or how they play, do they work, anything about that organization.
Yeah, but you do if you're a supremely confident player and you have been given the label of greatest of all time. I mean, why would you think any other way? Why would you, or at least put it out there? You could think that internally, but why would you, you know, share those thoughts thinking, you know, if I go to the Dolphins, it's going to kind of suck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just don't think you would. You can think that way. We'll agree to disagree. I think that I would never say something like that unless I was comfortable and confident in the situation that I was going to be in. The Patriots, he is comfortable and confident in. Despite last year, he knows that they are always in and around the AFC Championship game.
Sure.
And I don't think Brady is stupid when it comes to making those type of comments. So I choose to believe that he would not make a statement like that unless he was, you know, pretty confident that he was coming back to the Patriots. I also don't think everything that you read about this situation, Tom Curran, this, that, it always comes off with an air of, oh, Brady and Belichick, there's tension. Belichick's not going to wait around. Brady's looking for money. It's Brady's camp angling for this and that. I just don't believe there's tension. I think they're going through the process. And I know this is going to sound weird because they've been together for so long, but, you know, it reminds me of when I was on the precipice of proposing to my then-girlfriend, now wife, and her uncle would always sort of, in jest, but he'd be grilling me about when we were going to get engaged. And I knew we were going to get engaged. I wanted to get engaged. I knew she wanted to get engaged, but it wasn't really something we were talking about at the time, and you can't just openly come out and say it. Yeah, Uncle Paul, I'm going to ask her in a couple months. I'm looking at rings right now.
No, you just say, hey, you're not involved in this relationship. I'll ask her when I'm good and ready.
You just kind of...
none of your goddamn business, Uncle Paul.
You don't say that.
You can.
You can, but that doesn't do any favors for your relationship with Uncle Paul.
Who cares?
Okay. All I'm saying
is... I don't
know
Uncle Paul.
No, well, actually, he's not worth it now. I'm just... forget about that, but I'm just saying...
I want to explore that more.
No,
what
no,
do
no.
you mean?
It's fine. But here's the thing. You got to play the game. You know, you've got to just kind of go through the process. The Patriots, I know, and Tom E. Curran was talking about, it doesn't make any sense. Brady, he didn't want the franchise tag, so why wouldn't he go into free agency and see what's out there? It wouldn't make any sense for him to sign. He wants to explore. I just think you've got to kind of go through the process and do this the way it's supposed to naturally be done. And that's why they're just not running and jumping into bed with each other. They have to go through this process. And then, but ultimately, it's going to come together. It's going to work out. I couldn't tell Uncle Paul right then and there, yeah, we're getting engaged, no problem, it's happening. Because that would have been weird and it wouldn't have been organic. You have to go through the proper process and let it happen naturally. And I think that's what's going on with Brady and the Patriots. I don't think there's tension between Brady, Kraft, and Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's Intention isn't the word. Everybody's making sure they do the right thing because they want to make the right decision and make sure all their ducks are in a row and everybody's covered. But I don't think there's tension. And I think ultimately they'll go through the process and it will come to fruition. And I think it's going to be Tom Brady back in New England. And I don't think he makes a statement like that if he's going into a vortex, an organization that he has no idea what that organization is all about. Because he might look like an absolute buffoon if he goes to a team like the Raiders or any other organization you don't know a thing about and start declaring that you're going to be in the Super Bowl next year. You do that when you're comfortable with the situation you're in. He knows the Patriots are a championship organization. That's why he made a comment like that.
I think you're reading too much into it. Okay. I just think that's just a statement from a confident athlete. I think you're reading too much into it about whether or not he's... I think Tom Brady believes, for the most part, a lot of these teams that he's looking at or might be looking at him as realistic opportunities to go to the Super Bowl if Tom Brady's in their uniform as their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's San Diego, the Chargers, whether it's the Las Vegas Raiders, Dallas Cowboys, which is kind of interesting to me. I think he thinks that if he goes to any one of those teams or if he's back with the Patriots, they have a realistic shot of making the Super Bowl because they have Tom Brady.
So do you think he's gone?
No. Okay. I don't. That's what I'm saying is I don't take too much into those comments of I'm not going to be wearing a blazer next year. It just doesn't mean much to me. I think it was just a heat of the moment type of thing like bah, 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 bah. Mm-hmm. Tweet it out, it's done or whatever. I don't read too much into it. I don't think it means he's, surely coming back here because it's comfortable for him. I just think it's just a confident athlete putting that out there. That's okay. It.
Yeah. I just think deep down he's operating knowing that he's coming back. I mean.
Do you think there's already some kind of agreement? Because one of the things that gets talked about is, well, free agency opens, then you have that legal tamper. They've been tampering all along.
Yeah.
Teams have been tampering with players for a couple of weeks now, essentially, especially players that were not in the playoffs. They're being tampered with. The organizations are talking to agents. Of course they are.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's coming back.
I do too.
I think they know he's coming back. There's no reason. There's no mystery here. They've talked about money. They're on the. I mean, they know the Robert Kraft. They know what kind of money he's looking for.
Sure.
If Bill is open to the idea, and that's what the reports have said, Bill is open. He wants him back. Kraft wants him back. Brady wants to be back. What am I missing here? What am I missing here? What am I missing?
Money? The final part of the equation?
I still don't even think it's about money. I think it's about years.
Well, yes, it is about years, but it is also about money, particularly for Bill Belichick, because he wants to build out a full roster.
For Bill Belichick, yes, for Bill Belichick.
And he's one of the three principals involved in this, yeah. So you can't just kind of dismiss that.
I know it's about money, but I think they all are on the same page in terms of wanting this to work. There is nothing else better to turn to if you're the Patriots. I mean, this is the obvious fact that's staring us all in the face. That everybody seems to just look beyond. I don't get it. There's nothing else out there. Mahomes, if you didn't recognize, is one of the greatest quarterbacks of this generation already. MVP, Super Bowl MVP, even though I don't think he should have won it, but that's a separate discussion. He's not going to be easy to beat. Hill and Kelce are still there a couple more years. Andy Reid's a good coach. They're not going to be easy to beat. I mean, you bring in Andy Dalton, you bring in anybody else. Exactly. There's no discussion here. I mean, you bring in Ryan Tannehill or Marcus Mariota or Andy Dalton, there is no discussion. There's no discussion. Not a real one anyway, unless maybe everybody gets injured and you're left standing there healthy. There is no discussion. You don't want to, can't talk about the Super Bowl. I mean, don't even bring it up. We'll just kind of go through the motions next year. We'll get some football fix. We'll eat some nachos, whatever you want to do. Enjoy some games, and that's that. There's no talk of the Super Bowl. I don't even like nachos.
Yeah, they're overrated.
But, that's what this would be. So I don't understand why you wouldn't bring Tom Brady back if everybody wants to keep it going. That's what it appears to be.
Yeah, it is interesting. I just don't know how much Belichick wants it to keep going like this.
What does he want?
He wants to build the next group.
The next quarterback?
The next group of Patriots, the next.
But why can't you do that with Tom Brady on the roster? You still draft the guy. You still develop the guy.
I think you can. But he's already wanted to go down that road.
Yeah, has he? Because Tom
Didn't
Curran.
He?
Well, Tom Curran, who we're all going off of.
Why?
I don't know.
I love Tom, but I'm not.
Well, I thought that's where we were all going. I thought what we were all basing these opinions off of that article from yesterday.
With regards to the Jimmy G situation what I'm talking about. That's what I'm bringing up, is that Bill already has wanted to go down that road of trying to find that next quarterback, build up that next team, and he thought he had that guy, and then the situation changed and Kraft gets involved. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
In terms of him wanting to build that next thing up, what is his track record of star players on his team? What is his track record? He gets rid of them before they're no good for him anymore. Almost all of them. So if he thinks Brady's not that good anymore, and last year was not a great season for Brady to say, I'm still really, really good, why not?
So you think Bill wants to move on?
I think if the price is right and he can go out and bring in that next quarterback to kind of sit there in the system for 2 years, then yeah.
Do you think Brady, if he comes back, it's in spite of what Bill might want? It's because Robert Kraft wants him back, or does Bill want him back too?
I think Bill wants him back for a price.
Okay.
But I think Bill is realistic and understands that Tom's not as good as he once was,
yeah.
And that's fine. He's still damn good. He's still really good.
Yes.
He's not the surgeon that he was before, but he's still pretty good.
Is Bill Belichick comfortable saying,
but I think Bill believes that if I'm going to win with this guy right now, I need other things on my roster, which means I can't pay him $33 million a year on top of a $13 million cap hit for next year. How am I going to build out a roster that can compete with that? And that's a real thought. That should be a real thought, because you have some expensive people on the defense that you've got to replace or pay.
Well, yeah, what's the other thing we've heard? Brady's top priority is getting weapons.
Okay, so if you want to get weapons, then Brady's price can't be too high.
Correct.
Why? Because you're not in the position to go get those weapons.
So then why is everyone talking about how much money he wants? Does he want the money?
Here's the reality. Why we're saying, because we have no friggin' clue. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have been fantastic over their careers of being, at least since they've been together in New England, of being a mystery, of not giving you too much.
Yeah.
That's what Tom's doing.
Can I just make one more quick point about Tom Brady that I don't think people are talking about enough? He is, and we know this,
yeah.
Okay? We don't know him personally, per se, but we know this. Tom Brady is not a combative person. He's not an argumentative person. He doesn't want to be, you know, butting heads with people. That's not who he is. He's an agreeable person. He's competitive. But I don't think he wants to be, you know, in the a hair across somebody's ass. Like he's somebody that wants to get along with who he's working with. I think that comes into play here. You know, if there are negotiations that they're going to have to go through, he is not somebody that's a pain to deal with. And he's never been that. So,
well, things have seemingly kind of changed over the last year, have they not? The way he handled sort of the bus with regards to his contract situation in training camp last year, remember? He did, and he never would do that before.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, him kind of being dismissive of certain players on his team when he had that press conference and they're grilling him about, and he refuses to say anything positive. I don't have much of an issue with that, but there was a pattern this year that was very different from a pattern we had over 18, 19 years.
I guess that's, and things can change.
And they do.
Yeah.
And they absolutely do change. So I'm going to be very interested to see how this plays out. I don't put much stock in the Chargers situation. I don't put much stock in the Raiders situation.
What do you put stock in?
The guys before us brought up an interesting one that has been brought up a little bit, but not really thoroughly talked about and discussed. And then I started thinking about it from, if I was the owner of this team, the Cowboys. Because they do have specific weapons that would work very well with them. They have the best running back in the game, I believe, you know, maybe Saquon's better because he's a better pass catcher, but in terms of between the tackles, no one's better than Ezekiel Elliott. Henry had a good year, but Ezekiel Elliott's had like four really good years. Then you put on top of that Amari Cooper. Then don't forget about this. What do you have in front of him? A fantastic offensive line.
Do they have a fantastic offensive line, or is that a narrative from 4 years ago that's just sort of holding?
No, it's still a good offensive line. Still talented players on that offensive line. It might not be as good as it was 4 years ago. It's certainly not the offensive line from 1995.
Yeah.
But it's still good off. It's better than what the Patriots put in front of them last year. Part of that was due to injury. Still better than what the Patriots put in front of them.
You're going to leave Josh McDaniels for
I'm not saying Kellen I would leave it. I'm saying this is a scenario here.
Yeah.
That if I was Jerry Jones, think about what he's going through right now. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, okay, Dak Prescott, he wants turning down $33 million. He wants $35 million, $38 million, whatever it is. He's a good quarterback.
Correct.
I don't think anyone really has him projected to be a great Hall of Fame, you know, win five Super Bowls type of quarterback, right? And how long are the shelf life of running backs? Not terribly long.
No.
So if you're looking at this from the ownership standpoint of the Dallas Cowboys, you know, yeah, I could have Dak Prescott and I could have him for another 12 years, but I'm also going to have to figure out how to pair him up with another running back in another 3 years when we're gone with Ezekiel and then another wide receiver in Amari Cooper after we sign him and then maybe that deal runs its course. So you're going to have to do all of that again, just like what Seattle had to do with Russell Wilson. Jerry Jones is also 77. He wants to win. If I was Jerry Jones and sitting in his situation, I go, you know what, Tom, I'll pay you for 2 years. I can pair you up with Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, I'm going to be letting, Dak walk, but I can pair you up with Elliott. I can pair you up with Cooper. And I think within the next 2 years, we can win a Super Bowl.
Do you get rid of Dak Prescott?
If I am convinced, if I'm Jerry Jones and I'm 77 years old and I'm competitive and I want to win, I'll walk away from Dak for that.
All right. I'll give you my take on the Cowboys scenario and Tom Brady after the break. Let's get it trending. We'll be back here. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, so I'll be honest with you. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. That's honest. You can take that to the bank.
That is the truth.
I've never really taken this Tom Brady to the Cowboys stuff seriously. I still don't take it seriously. Now,
I was working through it earlier.
Yeah, I can work through it. I definitely think that if I'm Jerry Jones, here's what I agree with, okay? Jerry Jones is absolutely right to not commit to Dak Prescott.
Yep.
Dak Prescott, what was the Cowboys record this year? Was it 8-8? Is it
9-7?
Okay.
I believe they finished.
So 9-7 with
8-8, you're right. 8-8.
With all of those weapons that they had offensively and the 3-0 start, and they finished 8-8. Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo, whose shortcomings were on display in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He is 23-6 with the 49ers. Now they have some weapons too, but you could argue Dallas has just as many weapons. 23-6 is Jimmy Garoppolo. And he has plenty of shortcomings. If Dak went out and didn't play this year in Dallas,
yeah,
I bet their record is still around 8-8. 7-9. I mean, it's not that much different with all the weapons they have if you have somebody halfway decent playing quarterback.
I think he was pretty good this year. He was accurate. He didn't make a lot of bad decisions. He was good
moments
for them. I think they were like a 4 or 5 win team without him. But I'm not saying he's that great. It was also Jason Garrett's one of the worst head coaches
that's
I've ever seen.
But here's the thing. Jerry Jones, I think, is right to not give him $38 million a year because he's not that, and you're going to get screwed.
Yep.
If I'm Jerry Jones, when you combine the age, the kind of the temperature of the current team, all those things combined, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm absolutely interested in going after Tom Brady because it feels like my window is closing, not just with this team. You talked about the offensive line. The offensive line was really good back in like 2015, 2014. They're still good, but they're not atop the league anymore. Zeke Elliott, running backs, the shelf life, not long.
Yeah.
My life.
And he's
is,
not.
You know, he's an older man. You don't know how much longer he's going to be around, able to go to all the games and be fully involved. I feel like with this window, Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott, not able to get it done. Tom Brady seems like, especially at his age, if he's available, it's the perfect marriage. Mm-hmm. The high-profile GOAT going to play for America's team. One last hurrah for Jerry. One last hurrah for Tom. Talent around him. Big D, the star. Seems perfect to me. I totally think Jerry Jones should be after Tom Brady. I don't think Tom Brady should go there. There could be worse situations. Mike McCarthy, Kellen, I don't know. I mean, Mike McCarthy.
Well,
I was just going to say, Mike McCarthy was with Aaron Rodgers during his prime.
Yeah.
They had no defense, but is Dallas' defense really that much better? They had weapons. They never could get to another Super Bowl. So why would Mike McCarthy take...
I'm not giving full blame to Mike McCarthy on that.
No.
He deserves a lot of it, but not full.
I'm just saying now you're going to take Tom Brady, who's not atop his game anymore. He's fallen off a little bit, and you're going to get to a Super Bowl now? I don't like those numbers.
Here's what I was going to say. I don't think McCarthy's a great coach, but we also don't know exactly what McCarthy is as a head coach.
We don't?
Not completely. Okay. I know he was there for a long time, but I will always go back to that Bleacher Report story. With former players, plenty of former players commenting on it, and a lot of them talking about how Aaron Rodgers was really the problem in that situation because he kept changing the plays, he kept freelancing, kind of doing whatever he wanted and whatever he thought was best. So that's why I'm saying we kind of got an incomplete view of Mike McCarthy as a coach.
Yeah.
Now, did he do himself any favors in how he handled that situation? Absolutely not. I'm not impressed with him from that side of it. But, again, at least from an offensive standpoint, we don't know exactly what McCarthy is because of Aaron Rodgers.
Sure, that's fair. I still think in Dallas is going to come down to how good is their defense. Can their defense play well? Can their defense...
It was sixth in the league last year.
Okay. Numbers. I'll be interested. I thought that was a pretty good hire. Tom Brady. If I'm Jerry Jones, I'd want Tom Brady. Yes. I definitely would want Tom Brady, and I would take my chances removing myself from Dak Prescott. I'll take my chance that he'll become the next great quarterback elsewhere. I'll take my chances having to find the next quarterback, but I'll bring in Tom Brady, and then I'll draft the guy and deal with that later. You want to win now. Every kind of window that the Cowboys have is closing on the Jerry Jones era. I mean, unless he's going to be owning the team and doing stuff, talking to the media after every game at 86 years old. You know?
Just possible, but...
I guess.
I wouldn't want that. Think of it...
So I don't think he's going to Dallas.
I don't either, but that wouldn't be a bad situation for him.
No.
You've got a stud running back. You've got a above average, I will at least negotiate with you here, an above average offensive line.
Yeah.
An above average defense. And you have a couple of decent options in terms of catching the ball.
The best,
one good one.
The best place for Tom Brady to go, if he's going to go to any team and he wants to win, to me, realistic, the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know if they can get out of Kirk Cousins, but that would be the best team for me because that's a team that has weapons, has a defense, has a competent head coach.
I just don't think it's realistic because I don't think Cousins can be moved.
Okay, then that's not realistic.
That's my problem with it. When you look at the quarterbacks that are available right now, and some will be available through trade, like Dalton and Cam Newton, stuff like that. When you look at some of those guys, you go, I could have you a lot less than I could have Cousins, and I don't have to give up nearly as much to get you. I don't have to give up as much assets, and I don't have to give up as much money to get you. So at this point, for the money, I'd take Dalton over Cousins.
That's funny you just said that because that's just what I was going to say. Do you want a picture of the New England Patriots without Tom Brady? The Minnesota Vikings with Kirk Cousins. That would be the Patriots without Tom Brady. I don't care who you bring in because at the end of the day, whatever you have there at quarterback will not be good enough. The Minnesota Vikings with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback, that would be the New England Patriots, these Patriots without Tom Brady. You could have a great defense. You could get some weapons. Let's get some weapons around this new guy. At the end of the day, you will come up short because you have Kirk Cousins or whomever. Dalton, Tannehill. That's what you'll be. Hey, great win. Big win. Divisional round. NFC championship. AFC champion. Here we go. That's what you'll be.
Yep.
So get used to that. You want to move on from Tom Brady? You want to get some new guy in here? We'll go into the lab and cook some. Nope. That's what you'll be. So I'm not interested in that. I've been clear about that. I don't think the Patriots are interested in that. I know we have to speculate until something definitively happens.
Do you think something gets done with Brady and the Patriots before free agency so they can avoid that $13.5 million cap hit?
Yes, I do.
Do you think it will?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Because I think that's almost essential for Belichick.
I think
that's a must for Belichick.
I hear what Tom Curran is saying in that article where he's like, why would he, you know, why do you not allow the franchise tag to be a part of the equation only to re-sign and don't test the market?
Here's why you don't do it, because you don't go into negotiation with one handcuff on.
Yeah.
That's why you don't do it. That's why you ask for it away, so that you have complete freedom to negotiate without an albatross hanging over you. That's why you do it.
Right.
It's to have that escape clause, to be able to walk away from the situation if you need to.
I understand why people are saying
it's protection. That's what it was for Brady. In case he really, really does want to leave, it's protection to have that away from you and not attached to you.
Yeah.
It's nothing more. It's nothing devious. It's not some big... It's a negotiating tactic.
I also think...
So that you can't hold one thing over me while I'm trying to negotiate with you.
I also think it was a statement about how Tom Brady does not want any kind of scenario, any kind of part of a one-year deal. I think he wants a deal that will take him to what he thinks will be the end of his career. And that was a way to make that statement. No franchise tag. I don't want to even discuss a one-year deal. So I think he's interested in that, more so than the money.
But it's freedom.
Yeah.
It's freedom to do what you
do. And I understand what people are saying when they say, hey, why would he come this far, look towards free agency, no franchise tag, and then not go through with the process and test the market? I get that. But I'm sorry.
Because you're comfortable. Because all of this is negotiating. They've been negotiating with each other for a long time now. And what they're saying and doing out in public is part of that negotiation.
I just think, despite that, and how attractive it might be to get wined and dined, I think he winds up signing with the Patriots before the period starts. That makes the most sense financially. It doesn't, like, he's going to go take visits. Like, I don't think it's going to come to that. Belichick, I do think, will want some answers to the quarterback position. I don't think if they are on the same page the way I think they are, it wouldn't make sense for it to go that way.
One of the things you have to always keep in mind in these situations, and when you read these reporters and they come up with these reports with no sources, you know, they're not naming their sources, they're not putting anyone on the record or anything like that. You always, and it doesn't matter what sport it is, Tom Curran, Bradford, whomever, you know, these players, these agents use these reporters as a part of the negotiation a lot of times without them even realizing it. So keep that in mind. Everything's on the up and up that you hear from these sources that you get put into these reports by these guys. And I'm not saying that Tom or Bradford, anyone ever does that maliciously. That's the nature of the business. No. They're getting used by players. They're getting used by agents. They're getting used by the organization for whatever that PR spin needs to be in that situation. So always keep that in mind.
If you're one of those reporters and you get some juicy nugget from somebody that's close to the athlete that everybody wants to know what's going on with, I mean, that's too, you have to run with that.
Of course.
I mean, if they want you to get that message out there and you're getting something, that's juicy.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to run with that. Whether or not you might think, hey, they're probably using me for some sort of negotiation tag, you don't care. You just want to get
No, but I don't care. First of all, I don't care about them. I'm talking to the people that consume their work. Keep that in mind when you're reading it.
Yeah.
Don't just take it at 100% face value.
Do you think, Tom?
Always look at it and go, who has something to gain from this?
Do you think Tom Brady tests the market? Or does he sign before the free agency period would open?
I think he signs before the free agency period opens.
I just don't think it would make sense. I mean, especially when you talk about that cap hit, and we've heard every which way it appears that Brady wants to be back, Belichick wants to be back, wants him back.
If he wants to be here and he wants weapons to be here, he's got to do it. He's got to help them out with that 13.5.
Yeah.
Even if he's saying, I want that $260 million, you know, do it beforehand so you save them that.
I don't expect it to happen on Valentine's Day or on February 23rd. I think it'll go down closer to the wire because you got to go through this process. And nobody wants to look weak, and there's semantics and all these different things involved. And
can we throw away a couple of teams on the odds list of where Brady would land?
Yeah.
You know, Raiders, Chargers, you can leave them close to the top. It makes sense, seemingly. Buccaneers, it actually does not make sense.
No.
I know people are going, well, there's weapons there. Those weapons are very unique and specific, and they do not do what Tom Brady needs them to do.
Yeah.
They're not compatible. So stop looking at that situation.
Can you throw another team out for me?
Colts.
Okay. 49ers throw out for me. He's not going there.
Panthers.
Not going to Matt Rule, no.
Cleveland?
Nope.
Saints aren't doing it, by the way, guys. They've been pretty damn clear about what they're going to do. It's either going to be Breeze or it's going to be Taysom Hill.
Yeah, no,
they're
it's not
pretty
be the
clear
Saints.
About what they're going to do.
Not going to be the Saints. It's not going to be
But throw away the Buccaneers, guys. It does not make sense. Those wide receivers are deep threats. They're big-bodied downfield guys. That's not what Brady is going to do, and that's not what you want him to do at 43 years old either.
Same situation in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan. He wants a guy that can play action, roll out. That's not what Tom Brady's doing. He's not going there.
San Francisco's not happening.
No.
Is anyone really stupid enough to think they're just going to give up on Jimmy G right now?
He lived into the Super Bowl.
Stop it.
There was a stretch there. What was his percent? He was like 15 for 18. Now, he crumbled in the fourth quarter. I don't know how much of that was coaching, Shanahan, Jimmy G, a combination of both.
I'll give him 50-50 each.
We'll talk about that game. We got to get to Mookie. We want to talk about the Super Bowl. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Suck stuff, but just to wrap it, you want to make a prediction right now? Let's do our prediction. Super Bowl predictions right now. Official predictions.
31-21. Chiefs.
Wow. Blowout.
No, I don't
think.
Double
digits?
I don't think 10's a
blowout. Double digit win. Okay.
I don't think 10's necessarily a blowout. Because you could have a late field goal to make it 10, and now it's a two possession game with 2 minutes and 30 to go, and you're like, oh, man. But no, I'm going to go Chiefs by 10, 31-21.
Ben Kitchen.
Yeah.
On the money there. 31-21. Sort of an adventurous way to get to 31-21, but that's what the Chiefs did. That's what they were able to do. They did it all playoffs long. I thought a lot of the things I thought would happen in this game sort of happened. The Chiefs defense, I thought, made enough plays. They didn't dominate the game, but they made enough plays at the end that got them the win. I thought that the quarterbacks, I thought Patrick Mahomes would slightly outplay Jimmy Garoppolo. He maybe more than slightly outplayed him, but it wasn't ridiculous. It's not like Mahomes was far and away better than Garoppolo.
Sure.
He didn't dominate that matchup. I thought that's what would happen, and it did. The Niners were right there. They just had the breakdown, not only just offensively, but defensively in the last 7 minutes of the game. Both their defense and their offense hibernated through that last 7.5 minutes, and that's why they lost the game. One of those units sticks around. The 49ers win that game. And, I mean, I can't believe that the Chiefs found a way to pull that out.
I mean,
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, obviously, because that's what I had predicted. But Kyle Shanahan stinks.
He was really unimpressive.
He choked again.
See, but here's the thing.
He coached with no balls.
That's just it, man.
You want your players to play with balls? You got to coach with balls, too.
Great scheme. Great foundation offensively and the culture and all those things. But what do you like when it gets tense, you know, in the biggest moments? Can you keep the team focused? Can you make the right calls during those pressure-packed moments? That's where he fell short, not only in this Super Bowl, but in other ones, the one against the Patriots, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he coached not to lose.
Yep.
Not to lose.
And what happens when you do that?
You always lose.
You lose.
You always lose. Especially in a big game like that.
Yeah.
You always lose. That's been the hallmark of the Patriots' success. I mean, when do they ever play not to lose? I'll tell you when.
You know, there's been a couple of times where they've done it, and it's burned them 4th and 2.
Miami.
There you go.
Yeah.
What, like 5 times that's happened with Miami?
Well, or especially this last one, where they didn't remember, was it Miami at the half when they did the same thing?
Yeah.
They didn't go for it?
Yep.
I mean.
By the way, I hate that. That is one of my biggest pet peeves. First of all, you can't carry over timeouts. So what are you doing? And if you've got a certain amount of time and enough field position to make it work, you go for it. You go for it. You show your team that you trust them, that you think they're good enough to do it. And instead, what you showed them was, I don't think you guys got it right now.
Brutal.
I don't think you guys got it. You're not playing well enough right now. If I'm a player on that team, I'm looking at my coach and going, what are you doing? We're going to lose this game. You know why? Because you're coaching like a puss.
It was stunning. It was an absolutely stunning moment. I didn't want to.
It's embarrassing. I hate when football teams do that.
But they built the 10-point lead after that. So I gave them some credit, and I said, it didn't burn them.
Could it have been a 13-point lead?
Yeah.
Or a 17-point lead?
Absolutely stunning.
And then you're not in that same situation in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely stunning. And yeah, field goal could have won it or tied it.
And Andy Reid did a fantastic job. I'm happy for Andy Reid.
So
I've crapped on him so many times, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy for a guy like that that finally breaks through and gets and learns, because he progressed and he learned. He learned from his mistakes, and he got better as a coach, and kudos to him.
Okay.
Plus, if you always want to feel better about yourself, go look at Andy Reid as a 13-year-old in the pump pass kick competition. It's one of the greatest YouTube clips of all time. Dude's like 6'4", 300 pounds.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
I've seen it. It's impressive.
You don't like it?
No, I do.
Okay.
Let's talk to Dan and Cranston about the Super Bowl. Dan, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dan, a couple things.
Let me talk about Brady real quick, if you don't mind. I got a comment on that.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So, as far as going back to the Patriots, yes, well, this is my angle. Does it make the most sense? Do they really have a realistic chance to be a Super Bowl contender next year? And I'm looking at it this way. Let's forget about his cap hit, which would be in the 30s. Either way, no matter what they pay him. They have 9 guys that started on defense last year that were 29 years old or older. 9. All right? That is ancient in football. There's this narrative that, all these guys are going to come back and they're going to be a great defense again. I don't know, man.
I don't know how many people have said that they're going to come back and be a great defense again. Most people have acknowledged that the defense ended up being fraudulent last year.
Well, they were good for what they just, they're old. That's why they faded down the stretch. They're old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the competition had a lot to do with it, but you got to admit it. They're old.
Hightower is certainly not the player he once was. There's no way you're going to get a better version of Jamie Collins that you got this past
year. Collins is gone.
Yeah.
He's not coming back. Collins is gone.
Van Noy's probably gone.
Van Noy is definitely gone.
Yep, he's definitely gone. McCourty's going to be the interesting one because he's not nearly as good as he used to be, but he still has some value, especially because I don't think Chung can do it anymore.
No, he can't do it anymore.
And that's why I think you're unfortunately put into a position where you almost need to keep McCourty, because that other safety just can't do it anymore. And you've got to have a balance between young guys that you bring up and cultivate.
Okay, where's your level of confidence with Steph Gilmore? Let's let Dan finish. Go ahead. We'll talk about that later.
My point is that there's a lot of – they are an old team across the board.
We agree. And that's why, Dan, our big point was you got to try and figure out a way to do this before that $13.5 million cap hit comes into play.
Well, I think it's just years of bad drafts are catching up to them now. There's
absolutely
no guys to backfill. And I think that just a narrative that Brady signs, they're 12-4 and they're automatically in the hunt again. Take a look at the schedule next year.
Dan, I know it's tough, and you got to go to L.A. twice, and that's annoying. But going back to one of the things you just talked about the draft and the poor drafting and how that's catching up to you because it's really hurting your depth. The other thing that really hurts your depth as a complete football team is how much time and attention gets spent to special teams, gunners, stuff like that, backup running backs, your third running backs making $5 million.
Yep.
There's a lot of roster construction that just does not smell right here.
Yep, it's paid. Brady has been the cover up for all these bad things for years now, and he can't do it. He's 43. It's everything is starting to catch up with them now.
Agreed.
But all right, as far as I unloaded on the other show already on Kyle.
You calmed down? You're not, You're not making rash decisions?
Not particularly, but...
What was the worst thing he did, Dan, in your opinion?
145, letting the clock run, period.
Yep.
Because
you
are, at that point, playing not to win the game
or not to
lose the game.
You're playing chicken football.
And all year long, they never played that way. Whenever that... You defer the kickoff to get exactly the point, with timeouts left. To me, they didn't lose the game right there, but that basically just told me Kyle's going to go into his shell again. And you know what I mean? Here's the thing. Steve Young was Steve Young was playing golf and they interviewed him. And they asked him about, he goes, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, he goes, I'm sitting there stewing. I am pissed. He goes, you have no confidence in me. You're playing. He said, you're not giving me a chance to get the ball. Basically, screw you. Mm-hmm. That's basically what Steve Young is saying. And
stunning.
I totally agree with them. It's just you know what the worst part about that whole thing was?
What?
They they get the ball with a minute left, 59. They piss away the 40 seconds, and then they basically get back 59. Run. Then Kansas City calls a timeout, right?
Yes.
And then what happens? They throw two passes and a ticky-tack off of the pass interference call. They're on the 15-yard line.
Yeah.
And Jimmy throws a dime to Kittle. That was the offensive pass interference. But he can make the throws.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how frustrating that is?
Yes.
And as
yes.
you said, the net result is you take away those 3 points probably, maybe seven, whatever it is, and then when you get down to 2:44 left, you're down 24-23 as opposed to 24-20, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you don't need a touchdown. You can run the ball. You can take your time. There's no deep post pattern Manuel Sanders because it's not needed. It's just, I'll tell you, I'm a 49ers fan, obviously. Top three frustrating moment for me in sports. I've had this pit in my stomach in 2007, obviously. An odd one for me is when Tom Watson didn't get up and down to the 2009 Open. That was a pit in the stomach, and I had a pit in my stomach at this game. It was awful. And Kyle Shanahan, you guys are right, Jimmy played terrible, but you know what? Kyle was the one screaming in his helmet. He probably made him uncomfortable, too. It's just, the guy's a douche.
The 09 Open, that was devastating. I'll give you that one. Thanks for the call, Dan.
Thanks,
okay.
Sam.
He's referring to Tom Watson was like 59 years old. At Turnberry almost won the Open Championship. It would have been insane, but
whatever.
He was like 12 feet off the green from the hole. He couldn't get. Okay, here's another thing. Deebo Samuel was awesome in that game.
Yes,
and he did not touch the football again after 5 minutes and 23 seconds to go in the third quarter. Didn't touch the ball again. I mean, and then I thought that they underutilized George Kittle in the passing game.
Yes,
when you needed to have it. Why weren't you throwing? I would have been throwing to Kittle twice every three downs, every four downs, twice to Kittle at least. He's your best player. Let him do something. They went away from him. It was a disaster. They had it.
Shanahan got cute.
He got cute.
He got really cute. He really tried to out-coach the other team as opposed to letting his players outplay the other team. That's a bad coach sometimes when you're trying to be the mastermind of everything instead of saying, I got football players here.
Yeah.
If we do the right thing, if we know exactly what we need to do in this, but we'll be fine. And that goes back to Vince Lombardi.
Can I give Andy
Reid
some
credit? We run the play exactly the way we know we're supposed to run the play, no matter what their defense is. If we run it correctly, we're going to beat them on the play.
Let me give Andy Reid a little credit here, because I think it was after last season, he fired Bob Sutton, their defensive coordinator, and hired Steve Spagnuolo. That was a reason that defense was better this year.
Sure.
Maybe not the only reason, but that was one of the reasons they were better this year, especially in the playoffs. That guy has obviously proven it in the past with the Giants, and that was a big reason he moved on from Sutton, and he got a guy that knew how to win and win in the big games, and the defense did just enough. He's never going to have a dominant defense, but they did enough when you have Mahomes. Now the question I have for you that I'll ask after the break is
let me think about it.
Where do the Chiefs go from here, and what is the potential of Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and that combination? How far can they go? Can they approach what Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have done? We'll talk about that when we get back, and we're going to get to Mookie Betts. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show on 103.7 WEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.